Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And in today's episode, I want to talk about the mobilization of additional troops and the impact that that's having on the economy of Russia when you look at it in the context of the population and the workforce. Following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, which started on the 24th of February, it's been reported that over 500,000 people have left the country because they no longer wanted to live in Russia. And when you combine the impact of the mobilization, we are looking at over 1 million people that have left Russia over the course of the last 7 months. And that's going to have a big impact on both the workforce and also the economic activity within Russia. So in today's episode, I'll give you an update on the mobilization, what the impact of that has been, both on individuals who've been called up and also people who are concerned about being called up. We'll then have a look at the current situation with regards to the workforce in Russia. And then I'll show you some very concerning data with regards to the population pyramid in Russia. Because at the time of the last recession that kicked in the late 1990s, there was a dramatic fall in the birth rate and a big increase in the death rate, which has left Russia with a very unusual population curve. We'll then have a look at what the situation is with regards to the legislation relating to bankruptcies and how there is now rising concern that we're going to see a whole wave of company failures in Russia. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think the implications of all of these issues for the workforce and the population in Russia are for the Russian economy. So before we get started on all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Really appreciate it if you could. Don't forget, I always include chapters so you can skip over things if you don't have time to watch the whole video. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. And once again, I'd like to say thank you so much to everybody that has supported the channel. I genuinely appreciate it. I still find it incredible that people who watch these videos are happy to support me. So thank you so much for that. On September the 21st, President Putin gave a televised address to the people of Russia, advising that they needed to mobilize 300,000 men to go to the fight in Ukraine. And this sent two messages to the people of Russia. Firstly, it told them that the special military operation was actually a war. Up until this point, all of the news about what was happening in Ukraine had been reported in a positive light. However, it was now being seen as being a war because this was the first time since World War II that Russia had had to reach out and mobilize its forces. And the second message that it sent to the people of Russia was that the fight was not going well. The fact that it needed to raise another 300,000 men obviously indicated that it was not winning the war and that they had suffered significant losses. And the combination of these two messages caused chaos and panic on the streets of Russia. Initially, protests were held in a number of cities. However, the authorities cracked down very heavily on all of these protesters, and there were reports that people who were being arrested were being conscripted and forced to go and fight in Ukraine. So the protests were quickly squashed. However, the other main reaction from the people of Russia was to flee. We saw huge queues appearing at the borders of all of the countries that would allow Russians to enter without the need for a visa. And hundreds of thousands of people were reported to have crossed the borders into Kazakhstan, Georgia, Finland, Mongolia, and all of the countries that you could still get to by flight. Now, Russia has not released any official figures, but it's been reported that over 700,000 people have left Russia over the course of the last month or so. And in addition to the people who were actually fleeing the country, there were also widespread reports of people leaving their homes and jobs and going into hiding because they didn't want to get caught by the conscription police and be forced to go to fight in Ukraine. So when you combine the figure of 700,000 people who have left the country, plus the 500,000 people who emigrated at the start of the war in what's been called the brain drain, and the number of people who've left their jobs to go into hiding, we've got considerably more than 1.2 million people who've been taken out of the workforce in Russia over the course of the last 7 months. And of course, this is coming at a time when all of the sanctions are being applied against Russia. So Russian businesses are currently struggling in terms of their level of business anyway. So this is an absolute disaster from a business perspective for Russia. So in order to put this figure of 1.2 million into context, let's have a look at the workforce figures for Russia. This chart shows the number of people employed in Russia over the last 12 months. And you can see that the number of people in employment has been rising steadily over the last 5 months. And the official figure for August was that 72.6 million people were employed. So to put the figures that we're talking about into context, the 700,000 people who are reported to have left the country over the course of the last 4 weeks as a result of the mobilisation announcement equates to around 1% of the total workforce of Russia. So that's 1% disappearing in a month. And if we add on the estimated 500,000 who have left Russia as a result of the brain drain, then the percentage rises to around 1.7%. And we're talking about it in absolute number terms. If you deduct 1.2 million from the current 72.6 million, that takes you down to 71.4 million people in employment, which is the figure that was seen in March this year, which was the first full month following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So essentially, this mobilization call would have wiped out all of the growth in employment that Russia has seen over the course of the last 6 months. But the situation is actually much worse than that, because the people who have left Russia, those individuals who've left because they're concerned about the mobilization, and the people who've left as a result of the brain drain, are the most mobile people. So these are the people who don't want to hang around. They want to carry on with their careers and their employment. And they tend to be higher educated, higher skilled, and higher earners. So this is the cream of the crop. These are your best people. If you're highly educated and working in senior management, the last thing that you want to do, if you're being paid hundreds of thousands of dollars per year, is to trade that to go and fight in Ukraine to be paid around $650 per month. So the impact on Russia's economy will not be limited to 1% or 1.7% of the total workforce. The people that they're losing are their best people. These are the people who are contributing a lot more from a productivity and revenue perspective for the Russian economy. So the weighted average impact of the loss of these employees is likely to be considerably higher than 1 or 1.5%. This could be 10 or 20 or 30% impact, because you're losing all of these people at a time when all of the sanctions are applied against Russia. And so Russia needs to be more innovative, needs to be more creative, it needs to find more business, and you need all of your best people to achieve all of those objectives. And if they're all leaving for other countries, then they're gone forever. You're not going to lose them just for a short period of time. And that potentially reduces the productivity of your entire workforce on a long-term basis. So this is a really serious situation for Russia. But one thing I want to share with you now is the population pyramid for Russia, because it shows something even more concerning than what we're seeing right now. Population pyramids. Look at the population of a country and split it out into male and female and age categories. So you can see whether or not you've got an aging population, a young population, or an even spread. Emerging and developing countries will generally have a triangular population pyramid. So they will have a lot of people in the younger age categories because they have high birth rates, and they also tend to have high death rates. So there's more people in the younger age categories and a lot less people in the older categories. Now, when you look at a developed country, you expect the population pyramid to be roughly rectangular with a point at the top. So you'll have a similar number of people in each age category up to around 50 or 60 years of age, and then the numbers will start tapering away as people get older and start to die. So a good example of a developing country is Nigeria, and you can see that we have got a pronounced triangular shape to this population pyramid, with the largest number of people being in the 0 to 4 age category, second largest 5 to 9, third largest 10 to 14, and so on, all the way up to around 80. And you can see that there is a reducing number in every single age category. And the reason for this is that Nigeria has a very high birth rate, and so each family is producing more and more children, and the population is growing. Now, the United States of America is a good example of a developed country, and you can see that the population pyramid is, broadly speaking, rectangular with a triangle on the top. So there are a similar number of people in each age category, all the way up to around 64 years of age, and then we start to see a reduction as people start to die as they get older. And one thing that's interesting to note here is that the birth rate is reducing in the USA. So you can see that in the age categories from 24 downwards, there is a slight reduction in the number of people each year. So families are having less than 2 children, and therefore the population is starting to taper. Now, this is the population pyramid for Russia, and you can see that it looks very unusual. As Russia is a developed country, you would have expected this pyramid to be rectangular in the same way as it was for the USA. However, you can see that there is a huge reduction in the number of people in this pyramid aged between 15 and 29. In a normal developed country, you would expect around 3.5% to 4% of the population to be in this age category. However, in Russia, it is significantly lower. And the reason for this is that in the 1990s, there was a major fall in the price of oil, which led to a deep recession in Russia. In fact, it defaulted on its national debt at that point. And that major downturn in the economy led to a massive fall in the birth rate and a massive rise in the death rate. So Russia had a prolonged period of time where less children were being born and more people were dying, as rates of alcoholism and depression rose in the country. So Russia has a real demographic problem here. And the other thing to notice from this chart is that the number of males is significantly less than the number of females in most of these categories. So the blue section on the left-hand side of this chart is smaller than the red section on the right-hand side. And there are a couple of factors for that. Firstly, the level of alcoholism, depression, and suicide is much higher for males than it is for females. And also, Russia was involved in two wars with Chechnya in the late 1990s and early 2000 period. And a lot of men died in those battles. So this pyramid really highlights a number of issues for Russia. Firstly, their young workforce is depleted. In a developed economy, you constantly need more people to keep entering the workforce. You need young people coming in, learning, developing, changing the way things are done. Russia is severely lacking in this area, and that will hamper the growth of the economy going forward. Secondly, the fact that Russia has less males than females will also have an impact on the economy because Russia still has a bias towards male employees. And thirdly, and most critical for the purposes of this video, the 300,000 people who've been called up as part of the mobilization, so all of those people who've been removed from their jobs and told to go and fight in Ukraine, are going to be taken from the working bracket between 20 and 40 predominantly. So this is the area that Russia is already short in. So it can't really afford to be removing more people from that section of the workforce. But in addition to that, the 700,000 people who fled the country to avoid the mobilization are also likely to be in that age category, as are the people who've left the country as part of the brain drain. So if you factor in another 1.5 million people being lost as part of the mobilization, brain drain, and fleeing the country, then you're adding more problems to the problems that are already evident from this pyramid. And this really is a good graphical illustration of the really big issues that Russia is facing, not just right now, but over the next 5, 10, 15 years. Because as this pyramid moves upwards through the years, the shortfall of the people in that particular age category is going to start hurting the economy. Following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, the Russian authorities announced on the 1st of April that it was placing a moratorium on all bankruptcy proceedings. So that meant that no bankruptcy proceedings could take place or be initiated against any company in Russia. So that basically gave all of the companies carte blanche to carry on trading, even if they were insolvent, even if they were struggling. It really protected all of the industry in Russia and made sure that everything could carry on, even in these emergency circumstances. However, that moratorium was only put in place until the 1st of October and has now expired. And amazingly, the Russian authorities have decided not to extend it. So this means that any company that's operating in Russia that's in financial difficulty, and let's face it, many of the companies in Russia will be in financial difficulty because a lot of them has lost their markets. We've seen inflation at double-digit rates. We've seen interest rates hiked up to 20%. So there's a lot of factors that are going against being able to perform normal business practice. So there will be a lot of businesses in Russia who have been heavily impacted by the sanctions that have been put in place, and they'll be struggling both from a cash and profit perspective. And there is now concerns that a wave of bankruptcies are about to start hitting the Russian economy. Russia is now witnessing a sharp spike in the number of companies officially going broke. According to the Russian Association of Jurists, restaurants, fitness centres, movie theatres, wholesale traders and companies whose earnings are tied to the rental of real estate are among the hardest hit. Moscow and the surrounding region, Krasnodar, St. Petersburg and Bashkortostan have the highest concentration of newly bankrupt firms. In the period between October the 2nd and the 11th, 307 corporate bankruptcy cases were registered in Russia for a total of 5.3 billion rubles. Interestingly, one of the primary creditors against which companies are seeking relief is Russia's Federal Tax Service. So as you'll know if you follow the channel, Russia has stopped issuing detailed financial information about the economy. But it's interesting that we're getting this information through different sources, and the number of bankruptcy cases are now starting to rise. And this makes absolute sense, because it's impossible for all of these companies to be able to carry on unaffected. The war has had a number of major impacts on the Russian economy. Firstly, the sanctions have removed trade with all overseas companies from the West, and that will have had a really big impact on a lot of companies. Russian companies are not only involved in exports, they're also involved in imports. So a lot of businesses would have been importing goods and products directly from the West and selling them onto their customers within Russia. If you can no longer access any of those products, then that's going to have a massive dent on your business and going to put you in a really difficult situation. Inflation has also jumped dramatically since the start of the war. We've seen month-on-month double-digit increases in inflation, and it's impossible for companies to be able to keep up with that. Firstly, they're having to raise all of their prices, which generally means that you'll have a reduction in sales volumes, because simple supply and demand tells you that when prices go up, demand generally goes down. So therefore, you will make less profit and therefore you'll have less cash. But secondly, when you have periods of high inflation, people will change their spending patterns. So you'll prioritize things that are really important to you, such as food and fuel. So if you need to fill your car up to go to work, you need to put food on the table, they will be your primary focus, and you'll cut back on other expenditure. So as I just mentioned, gyms and movie theaters are the first things that people will cut out of their monthly expenditure. And the third impact of rising inflation is that it increases all of your costs. So your energy bills will go up, your purchase price will go up if you're having to buy in goods and materials, and you'll have to pay your people more because there's more pressure on wages. So all of those factors mean that Russian businesses are being squeezed really hard right now. And just to add more fuel to the flames, following the invasion, Russia's central bank increased interest rates from 9% to 20% overnight. So if you're a business that owes any debt, the price of that debt would have more than doubled overnight, and that will wipe out a lot of your profit. So the combination of all of these factors has meant that it's been very difficult for Russian business to carry on as normal. This has been a very unusual set of circumstances, and I'm sure a lot of companies have been making losses. They will be out of cash. They will essentially be bankrupt. Now, I'm very surprised that the Russian authorities haven't extended this moratorium on bankruptcy, because the last thing that they need right now when the economy is going into a deep recession is to start closing down all of the businesses. You need those businesses to survive. You need people to be employed. You need money to be circulating in the economy. So I thought it would have been more likely that the Russian authorities would either have been giving bailout facilities to all of these companies, essentially just keeping them alive, or nationalizing companies where it sees the need. So releasing the moratorium on bankruptcy seems like a crazy idea right now, because it's going to get worse over the course of the next 3 to 6 months as the sanctions really start to bite and we see secondary sanctions being applied to countries like India and China. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because I wanted to give you more of an economic link as to what's happening with regards to the mobilization and what's going on in Russia's economy. And what we've seen from today's video is that the 700,000 people who fled the country, plus the 500,000 who left because of the brain drain, plus the 300,000 who are actually being called up to go and fight in Ukraine, is a really big chunk of the Russian workforce. We're talking somewhere in the region of 1.5 to 2% of all of the people in employment. But it is actually much worse than that, because the people who are fleeing the country and the people who've left as a result of the brain drain are the better employees. These are people who are producing more than the average. They're the higher educated, higher skilled, and higher earning sections of the population. And a country always wants to retain that section of the workforce. But for Russia right now, it's even more important, because they are facing the biggest set of sanctions that have ever been applied to any country ever. This is a severe emergency from Russia's perspective. They need to find new customers, new markets, new ways of doing things, new technology. They need all of their best people at the forefront of those businesses, rebuilding the Russian business model. And unfortunately, if all of those people are leaving, then that's going to put even more pressure on those existing companies. But unfortunately for Russia, the problems don't end there. As I showed you from the population pyramid, Russia already had an underlying problem that's been feeding through into its workforce over the last 25 years. They had a massive reduction in the birth rate and a massive increase in the death rate around 25 years ago. So they were already facing a shortage in the workforce for younger people coming through, the next generation. And that's now being accelerated by what's happening in Ukraine, because that younger section of society are the ones being targeted by the mobilization, and they're also the ones who are fleeing as a result of avoiding the mobilization. So this is really making matters much, much worse for Russia. So we're no longer receiving any official data from the Russian authorities to be able to check exactly what's going on a monthly basis. But when you look at these fundamentals, it tells you that Russia has a really big problem, and that problem is going to get worse as long as this war goes on and as long as the mobilization continues. Now, it's been reported that 220,000 people have been called up so far as part of this mobilization. So another 80,000 are needed for this round. And President Putin has said that it will all be done and dusted within 2 weeks. However, as long as the war goes on, the threat of mobilization remains. Because even though the 300,000 may have been recruited, if Russia carries on losing people and losing the war, then it will need to keep replenishing all of those people. So it potentially could come out with another mobilization in a month's time, another 2 months' time. This could be a rolling mobilization over the course of the war. And as I've said before, we don't know when this war is going to end. As it stands right now, Russia does not look like it's pulling out. It's annexed the four areas of Ukraine that it's currently occupying and has declared that they are now officially part of Russia from Russia's perspective. That will be a big loss of face for President Putin. He's unlikely to reverse that decision. If you look at what he's done historically, he's not really an individual who makes U-turns. He doesn't go back on what he said. He doesn't change his mind. When he says something, he carries through with it. So it's very likely that whilst he remains in power, Russia will continue in this war. And from the other side of things, Ukraine is not backing down. It's being very well supported by the West. It's being given a lot of financial and military support. And most countries are doubling down on those support packages right now. So we're hearing from a lot of different countries that they're prepared to put in hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars of support over the next 3 to 6 months. So we've got two sides here who are very unlikely to pull out of this war. So that means that the potential for this to go on for another 12 or 18 months is quite high. And when you look at what the potential resolutions could be, it's hard to see a middle ground that would be acceptable for both sides. Russia wants to claim all of this land for its own. Ukraine is still smarting from the loss of Crimea back in 2014 and doesn't want to give up any more land. So I can't really see an end in sight. And unfortunately, that means that mobilizations may well continue on a rolling basis. That's going to put more fear into the workforce in Russia. It potentially could lead to even more people leaving the country. And that narrowing of the pyramid that we saw earlier could actually be getting worse on a daily basis right now. And that is really bad news for Russia and its economy. So as I said, I wanted to put the mobilization into an economic context, because when you hear these stories of people leaving the country, it's hard to then equate that back to what that means for Russia and its economy. But what I'm telling you is that it's very bad news for Russia. And the longer the war goes on, it's going to get worse. So hopefully you found today's episode interesting, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.